Our Father and our God, we are thankful, Lord, for April and Dylan. God, I thank you for the baby, the Lord, Caden, and God, that you helped him out with his few days of struggle there, that God, he's able to be in here and fellowshipping and singing with us and praising with us this morning, the Lord. And thank you for your hand upon him, the Lord, and your healing hand. And continue to bless him, the Lord, and bless him be a healthy baby, the Lord. And thank you for Dylan and April being young parents and bringing their baby up already in church, the Lord, and under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. And God, I thank you for that. And continue to bless them, the Lord, to be able to raise that baby in a godly home. And God, I do just come to you at this time. God, I pray that each and every one are praying along with me. That God, that you would open up our hearts this morning. God, I pray that every person pray that as an individual. God, open up our heart. God, open up our mind. God, remove any animosity. Remove any bitterness that are in our hearts and our minds. God, remove anything that is hindering us from hearing your word. Remove anything that's hindering us and obstacles that we have faced throughout the week, the Lord, that have been defeated and defeated us, God. God, I pray that you will remove that from us, the Lord. God, let us focus on your word this morning. Let us focus on the songs we've already sang and the praises we sang to you, the Lord. God, I pray that your blessings will be upon this service. God, that you anoint the reading of your word this morning. God, as it is opened up and as it is read, that your word would go forward, God. That it accomplish that which is pleasing and honoring to you. And God, we will apply what we hear in your word this morning. And God, we'll let it minister and speak to our hearts and to our minds, God. And God, I pray, the Lord, that if we have anything against one another, the Lord, that we will get it right. And God, that you will be honored today before we leave this place. God, that everything that we say and everything we can truly say that, God, we have clean hands and a pure heart and a mind and a face that seeks the God of Jacob. And God, I pray the day that you defeat the devil, as I always do. But God, there's been an opposition here. And God, I pray that every one of us this morning are praying that opposition gets gone. In the name of Jesus, I pray for victory in Jesus. Oh, Lord, that you remove that opposition and animosity to God. That's not how you want us to live. That's not how you want us to be. That's not how you want us to act towards one another and brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, I pray that we can truly get our life focused on you and not on others. And God, focus our life on you and what you desire for us to be. And how you desire for us to live. And God, that you will be pleased with what we have to say and what we have to do. And God, if it's not pleasing of you, and God, we can't say something that is beneficial to the Lord and uplifting of brothers and sisters in Christ, then God, we won't say it. And God, I pray that you would just fill this place with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. God, I know that you're tired of games. God, you're tired of foolishness. And you're tired of the foolishness that happens in your house. And God, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I rebuke it. And God, I ask you that evil spirit to flee and leave, God, because it is not welcome in the presence of God's children. And God, that if we're the ones that's causing it, that God, you will bring so much conviction upon us today that we can't stand it. We have to get it right with you. And God, I pray that you would bless us today and be focused on you, God, and focused on what you would have us to do. Be that mission-minded community that you want us to be, God. And lay aside all malice and envies and railings and all that animosity, the Lord. It is of the devil. It is not of you. And your word is plain and clear as day about it. And God, I pray that we'll lay it at the feet of the altar today. God, I pray that you'll anoint the reading of your word. God, it is your word that we're reading. And God, I pray that we'll be focused on you. And God, again, that we will apply it to our life. God, thank you for what you're doing in this church, God. Thank you for your presence being here and your power and your movement. And God, we pray that it continue, that you will continue to have your hand upon this church. That you will continue to have your hand upon these people, the Lord. They're your children, God. And God, that you would take care of these situations, the Lord. And God, that we will work these things out for your honor and glory. God, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for your presence being here. And God, again, I pray that you would open up our heart and our mind today. And Father, bless us to hear your word and apply it to our lives. God, thank you for what you're going to do. Defeat the devil, bind him up, and keep him at bay. He is not welcome here. Father, let the power and presence of the Holy Spirit move today. Move in our lives. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. We'll be in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And we're going to look at verses 18 through 31 And we're talking about the mission of a community, the mission that God's new covenant people have. We're going to talk about the gospel this morning and what the gospel is and the purpose of the gospel. And it was centered on one person, and that person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. His purpose and his focus is on that. The gospel is to bring the good news that Jesus saves. The gospel is polarizing, my friends. It changes, it convicts, and it gets a hold of our heart. And my friends, if we will open up our heart and mind, and we're going to look at the Jews and we're going to look at the Greeks today and look at the perspective that Paul was dealing with and dealing with the church of Corinth and what he saw and stuff. And if we would open up our hearts and minds and allow God's word to speak to us, my friend, it would change our heart. It would change our mind. It would change who we are, and it would have an effect, my friend, for the power and the glory and the praise and the honor for Jesus. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 and following says this. It says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the what? It is the power of God." When are we going to tap into that source? When are we going to tap into the power of God? When are we going to realize, my friend, the world thinks that the preaching of the cross and the scripture is foolishness, but to those that are perishing, it is foolish. They don't understand the power of the gospel of God. But for you and me that claim to be children of God and Christians, my friend, it is the power of God that is to you and to me. And we need to learn to start tapping in to the power of God and let it infiltrate us. Let it impact us. Let us be the Christians that God desired us to be, my friends. It's time for us to get busy about what the Lord wants to do in your life and my life. Amen. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Are you listening this morning? Yes. Say amen. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. Have you asked God to open up your heart this morning? Yes. Have you asked Him to open up your ears this morning? Have you asked Him to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word this morning? Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Ah, come on, folks. Let's look and see what it says. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us we are saved. It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Thank God for His word. Thank God through the foolishness of preaching, we see folks getting saved, lives being touched, hearts being changed, people being transformed, my friend, through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the Jew required a sign in verse 22. For the Jew required a sign, and the Greeks seek out the wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Is there anything else to preach other than Christ crucified? Christ crucified, died, and was buried and rose again, my friend. There is nothing else to preach upon other than the gospel. That gospel saves right there, my friend, in the country slang, since you're out here, that dog will hunt when you preach that. Amen. The gospel saves, my friend. It said that in verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek out the wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jew and Greek, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." The foolishness of God, even when He's doing something that's mediocre, which God don't operate that way, His wisdom is far advanced and more than yours and mine. In His weakness, He's still stronger than you and me, which there is no weakness in Him. Oh, listen to me. "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks," in verse 24, "is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God," in verse 25, "is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For ye see your calling, brethren. Have thou not many wise men after the flesh? Not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. and the base things of the world, the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring naught the things that are. Aren't you glad that God chose those things? Amen. Because I don't know about you, but I fit into them categories. My friend, God has saved us. He has spared us, my friends. And in verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him ye are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God has made unto wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. My friend, if there is any wisdom, if there's any righteousness, if there's any sanctification and any redemption, it's of Jesus Christ. It's not of yourself. It's not of myself. I tell you all the time, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. And when we get our mind focused on Him, then we can do great and mighty things for the Lord. Amen. In God's house, my friend. Yeah. In the Lord's house. Oh, listen to me if there's any of that. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, of whom God made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glory, let him what? Glory in the Lord. If there's any glory, give glory where glory is due. Glory in the Lord, my friend. It's all about Him. Everything we say and do is to bring God to honor and glory. Can you say without a shadow of doubt in your heart today, for the past month, for the past week, that everything you've done in your life, everything you've said, that you brought honor and glory to the Lord this week? Can you say that? Can you stand here and say today that you have clean hands, that you have a pure heart, that you have a face and a mind that seeks the God of Jacob, my friends? Can you say that? I know you can't, because I've got several phone calls and information that's come back to me this week. So don't lie to me. You better straighten up your mouth is what I'm telling you. You better straighten up your attitude and you better get it right with the Lord. Because in God's house, He don't like foolishness in His house. He don't like animosity. He don't like bitterness. And I'm tired of the foolish phone calls anyhow. Amen. Amen. Oh, me.
Yeah.
I'm tired of the emails. I'm tired of Facebook. If I was God, I'd blow it all up.
Amen.
Amen. I'd blow it all up. Get it right today. Bring it to the altar and leave it there. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't no place for it here. Ain't no place for it here. We got business to do for the Lord. It's about Him. It's not about you or me. It's about what can we do for the Lord.
Amen.
And is God pleased with what we say and do? Is God happy with everything we say and do? Oh, my friends, we need to look at ourselves all the time. And we need to line ourselves up with what thus saith the Word of God says.
Amen.
Line your heart up with that. Get in tune with what the Lord wants you to do. Get in tune with Him. Y'all got awful quiet in here this morning.
That's right.
Get in tune with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Get in tune with Him. Scripture says in Ecclesiastes that a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Amen. But them strands are tied together through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Those strands are tied together through God, my friends. And what God ties together, no man can put asunder. No man can separate. No man can break, my friend, what God does. When God does something, He does something for eternity. He does something that lasts forever. He does something, my friend, that changes our heart. Oh, listen, Jesus saves us to send us, my friends. He saves us to send us. The early church recognized that everyone needed the gospel. Everyone needs the gospel. The early church recognized that. They got on fire about that. They began to preach it, deliver it, teach it, walk it, talk it, live it. That's how they had an impact in the community where they were. It's time that not only are we teaching it, preaching it, we walk it, we talk it, we live it, my friend. And if we do that, God will have an impact in this community, in your life, in the life of this church like you've never seen before. My friend, if you allow God, if you open up your heart and you allow Him to come in, if you allow Him to take over and become ruler and rule and reign in your life, I'm telling you, God will have an impact in your life. It changes you forever. He'll give you a new outlook. He'll give you a new way in life, my friend. If you desire it and you want to have it, God can make that impact in your life. And in my life this morning, all the early church, they knew everybody needed the gospel. In Romans 1:16, Paul wrote these words. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." The power of God to salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul wanted the church to be clear about what God entrusted them to do. God wanted the church to be clear on that. That he wanted them to know that it wasn't to be drawn to him, but only to the message of salvation that Jesus saves. That's where he wanted to focus at. That's what he wanted to draw to. God rested not on human wisdom or eloquence, my friend, but on the power of God. And we need to rest upon the power of God. We need to lean upon him, trust upon him, rest in the power of God. My friend, you and I can't defeat the devil on our own, but we can defeat him in Jesus' name. You can defeat him in the Lord, my friend. You can defeat him with the Lord today. If you're taking notes, the gospel, number one, is polarizing. Look back at verse 19. In verse 19, it says this. It says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Oh, listen, my friends. The Jews demanded a sign. The Jews demanded a miracle. They wanted to see a sign, my friend. And they thought that the crucified Messiah was ludicrous. They wanted a sign. Show me a miracle. Show me what you can do. I need a sign. The preaching of the cross is foolishness. And my friend, they thought it was ludicrous. And then you got the Greeks. Greeks wanted wisdom and eloquence. To them, the gospel sounded weak and was unimpressive. Oh, but the gospel sounds glorious to those that embrace it. Amen? Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Are you listening? Are you following? Say amen. Amen. The gospel was glorious to those that will embrace it. Oh, listen to me. When you look back at verse 24 and 25, it says, "But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the what? Power of God." And what? The wisdom of God. "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." Oh, listen. In it they saw God's power, and they learned about God's wisdom. When you see that. Oh, there's a guy that wrote, Lynn Morse. He wrote and he said, "The sign-seeking Jews were blind to the significance of the greatest sign of all when it was before them." Sign-seeking Jews were blind to the greatest sign of all when it was before them. What about us? What about us today? Are we blinded of the fact that Jesus saves and wants to transform, translate, transfigure your life out of here? Are we blind to the fact of what Jesus wants us to do? Oh, listen, not only that, it was the greatest sign of all that was before them. The wisdom of the loving Greeks could not discern the most profound wisdom of all when it was right there before them. They rejected it. What about us? The wisdom of all that's right there before us, and God's in control of it, when it's laid out there before us, amen, what do we do with it? The most profound of all that was right there. I know it's not Jesus calling me. Y'all can go ahead and answer it. It's not Jesus want me. And there is a song that said, "I got Jesus on the main line." Amen.
Amen.
Y'all got him on the main line. Jesus, are you with me this morning? Amen. Is Jesus on the main line?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. He's the one that needs to be on the line. Jesus on the main line. We might get some soul up in here. Yeah. Oh, listen to me. Profound wisdom. They were confronted with it, and it didn't do nothing. Oh, listen to me. The gospel will always have an aroma of life to some and a stench of death to others. Oh, we must be aware of its polarizing gospel and impact that it wants to have on your life and the impact that it wants to have on my life. We must be, my friend, powerful and understanding that God's word is powerful, my friend, if we would just listen to it and obey it and apply it. That God's word is powerful. It wants to change your life and my life. It desires to change us, my friend. Are we allowing it to? Oh, not only that, but number two, the gospel is purposeful. The gospel has a purpose. The gospel has a reason. My friend, there is a reason for the gospel. Oh, listen to me. Many Corinthians were unimpressive by the world's standards. But verse 26 says this, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Paul did not intend to belittle these Corinthian people, my friend, but to magnify the purpose of the power of the gospel. To magnify the purpose of the power of the gospel so they understand it wasn't about their wisdom. They understand it wasn't about them, that it was about the Lord Jesus and what God wanted to do. Oh, listen, God chose the foolish and the despised things of the world. Aren't you glad that God chose the foolish and the despised things of this world, my friend, to carry out his glorious gospel? Oh, listen, he did not save those who deserve salvation. He didn't save those that deserve salvation. My friend, he didn't save those folks that deserved it. Did you and I deserve it? Do we deserve salvation? He didn't save them. On the contrary, he saved those the world hated. He saved those that the world despised and that the world hated as the ones that he saved. Look at verse 28. He said, "And base things of this world and things which are despised hath God what? Chosen." The things of this world, the things that were despised, those things have God chosen. Those things. The gospel is reversed to what the world standards are. Gospel is reversed. The world says, man, you got to have wealth in order to make it in. The world says, man, you got to have fame to make it in. The world says you got to have prestige to make it in. The world says, man, you got to be some great performer to make it in. That's what the world says. But Jesus said he took the despised things, the weak things, to confine the world. He said he took those things that are weak, those that were despised. Oh yeah, the world counseled on performance, value, worth, wealth, success. Aren't you glad that we don't measure up that way in God's standards? God says, come as you are. Come as you are. When he doesn't measure us up like that. Oh, listen, the gospel declares a person worthy and approved before God. The gospel declares a person worthy and approved when the blood of Jesus has been applied to our life, when they've invited him as Lord and Savior. It's not about anything that you think or you and I think that we can do that deserves it. It's about Jesus. It's about the gospel. It's about what the Lord wants to do. That's what it's about. It's not about us. Philippians 2, 9 and 11 says this. It says, "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and the things in earth and the things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Oh, verse 29 back in our text says this, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." No flesh to glory in his presence. My friend, that when we're in his presence, all we can do is bow. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all. My friend, no matter the wealth, no matter the prestige, no matter the performance, no matter how society looks at it, my friend, we're all going to bow to Jesus. And we're all going to declare that he is Lord of all. He is Lord of all, ruler of all. My friend, when are we going to allow him to be Lord of all? when we're going to allow Him to take over our life and take over our mind and take over our bodies, my friend, and allow Him to be Lord of all. He desires to be Lord of all. When we're going to allow Him to be Lord of all? Oh, not only that, my friend, it says in verse 29, as I said, no flesh should glory in His presence. Gordon Fee said this. He said, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. Said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's about the Lord. About Him, my friends. He would that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's about Jesus. It's not about prestige. It's not about fame. It's not about wealth. It's not about what we do in this life. My friend, it's about what we do with Jesus in this life. About what we do with Him in our heart, my friend. It's about that. Not only that, but the gospel is centered on a person, praise the Lord. The gospel is centered on a person, if you're taking notes. The gospel is centered on a person. In verse 30 and 31, the gospel points not to teaching or philosophy, but it points to a person. In verse 31, or 30 and 31, it says this, but of Him are ye what? In Christ Jesus, whom of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory where? In the Lord. And the gospel points, my friend, not to a teacher. It don't point to philosophy. It points to a person. His name is Jesus. It said in verse 31, that according again as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, we could read this to say, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's what's boast. It's what's talking about. It's what we do for the Lord, my friend, is what's going to count. Paul says that all we need for salvation is found in Jesus and in Him and Him alone. My friend, His word is found. Oh, he tells us, Paul was explaining that. This makes Christianity different from every other religion, my friends. It's about the Lord. Jesus is truth. Salvation is found in what He done on the cross of Calvary that paid your sin debt and my sin debt. My friend, is found in what Jesus has done. A student once asked Dr. Henry Ironside. He once asked him and said, aren't there thousands of religions out there? And the professor said, no, sir. He says, there's not thousands and there's not hundreds. He said, what do you mean? He said, the fact is, you can chalk it up in about two and all other religions can fall under that. He said, what do you mean? What do you mean? One which tells you that salvation comes as a reward for what you have done. And you can follow all that under there. The other tells you salvation comes by what one person done. And His name is Jesus. Salvation comes by what one person done for you on the cross of Calvary, and His name is Jesus. All else can fall under that. Oh, listen to me. Listen to me. All the rest fall under that. What are you trying to base salvation in, my friends? Are you putting your trust in family? Are you putting your trust in good works? Are you putting your trust in your parents? Are you putting trust in success? Are you putting trust in a political figure or a political party, my friends? Are you putting self-discovery in what you've done and self-motivation? What are you putting, my friend, for salvation? Oh, let me tell you something. There's only one way, and that's Jesus. You see, John 14:6, it tells us this. It says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to Him. Oh, listen to me. The gospel is polarizing. If you open up your heart, it'll change your life. It'll change your direction. It'll change who you are. My friend, it'll stop you in your tracks if you're listening to it. It'll stop you in your tracks if you're letting the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have rule and reign in your life and in your heart. My friend, it'll stop you where you're at. Oh, it has a purpose. And it seeks and to save those that are lost. It seeks to save those that are lost. My friend, to bring healing, to bring restoration in your life, my friend. It has a purpose. Oh, we are following His purpose. As 2 Peter 3:9 said, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Oh, the Lord don't want you to perish this morning. He wants to give you life, eternal life, my friend, that'll last for all eternity and have a profound impact in your life. And the gospel is centered on one person. It's about Jesus. As John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. There's only one way. The pastor says light on why Paul said that we should not be ashamed of the gospel. When you go back and look at Romans 1:16, Paul wrote, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is what? The power of God for what? Salvation. The power of God for salvation to everyone that what? Believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is power. My friend, are we accepting that power today? Are we applying that power? Are we accepting that power? Are we allowing that power to transform our lives, my friend? The gospel is polarizing. If you open up your heart and your mind and apply it and listen to the Holy Spirit of God, my friend, it will change your life. The gospel has a purpose. Are we living out the purpose? Are we living out the purpose that God desired for us? Are we living out the purpose? The gospel has a purpose. A purpose, my friend, in your life, in my life. Are we allowing the purpose that God intended and desired for the gospel to be lived out in your life and my life? Oh, my friend, if you do, it'll have a profound impact. What about it, my friend? What about it? He said that He would that none should perish, all should come to repentance. It is lifted up, it is given to you today. What are we going to do with the Jesus? What are we going to do with the gospel? What are we going to do with the message that the Lord has presented to us today? What are we going to do with it, my friend? What are we going to do with it? Are we going to allow it to have an impact and change our lives for all eternity? Are we going to allow it, my friend, to take root in our life? Are we going to center it on the purpose it was desired for? And it's about Jesus. All I pray this morning, my friend, that you would get whatever is in your heart and mind in tune with the Lord. I pray that you get in tune with what God wants to do in your life, what He desires to do in your life, my friend. Life is too short to go around looking like a mule, eating briars through a barbed wire fence. As Christian brothers and sisters in Christ.
That's right.
Amen.